I'm often asked as a representative on a campus like this with students and even in churches, what are you looking for in a missionary? And I have come to the point where I just respond this way, and forgive me, I'm not trying to make it personal to anyone, but we're looking for some fat people. We truly are. You know, in the last few years, there's been so much on nutrition, what you should eat and you shouldn't eat, and it's got everyone so confused that I finally came across the last survey that they have found, and I'd like to read it to you for those who watch what you eat. The Japanese eat very little fat and suffer fewer heart attacks than Americans. The Mexicans, they eat a lot of fat and suffer fewer heart attacks than Americans. Now the Chinese, they drink very little red wine and suffer fewer heart attacks than Americans. The Italians, they drink a lot of red wine and suffer fewer heart attacks than Americans. The Germans, they just drink a lot of beer, eat lots of sausage and fats, and suffer fewer heart attacks than Americans. The conclusion is this: eat and drink what you would like. Speaking English is apparently what's killing Americans. But I would like for you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to look at this area of what God uses, or the kind of people that God uses. The individual that God wants to use is fat people. Now, for some of you that might think I'm trying to bear in on you, there was a time when I spoke at a conference here, and they asked me to speak on the subject of fasting. And when I got up, I really thought they had misspelt the word and should have been feasting. So don't take it personal, but I am going to talk about fat people this morning. Now, so that some of you already are angry with me or thinking that I'm thinking of your weight, that's not what I'm talking about. God's looking for fat people, and it's just an acronym for faithful, available, teachable people. If you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, you'll soon discover the Apostle Paul was in some kind of a controversy where people were judging him according to his ministry. And they were saying that Paul might not be as successful as other people thought he was. And in a sense, he was kind of defending himself. And the context would simply say that Paul said, ultimately said, I don't judge myself whether I'm effective. And I'm not going to judge whether you're effective, because we really won't know until we get home, and we're not home yet. But I do want you to note that in these two verses, Paul does share with us how to recognize an effective person, though. You'll note that in verse 1, he says, let a man so account, or to reckon, or to add up, divide, subtract, and multiply, however you want to use your equation, that God is looking for the ministers, that is, account of us as ministers. You that may have a different translation, more of an updated, you'll find that it is the word servant. It also is the Greek word which means to underrow. It was an underrower on a ship, the lowest position that any slave could have. And therefore, the Apostle Paul was saying, if you want to recognize someone that's going to be useful, look for a person who's going to be a servant. Now, the question is, how do you determine whether a person is a servant? And the quickest way that I've discovered in training men on the mission field and here in the pastorate in the United States is the quickest way to find out of their attitude. Now, this is what Paul is saying. Here's their attitude. An attitude of a servant is simply this: treat them like one and see how they respond. Has anyone treated you like a servant lately, and how did you respond to that? Did you kind of curl up and say, don't like that? Or did you say, okay, I'll just do it? And you put a smile on your face and you went about doing it. You see, being a servant in the biblical sense of a Christian, it all comes down to an attitude. And that's what Paul was saying here. Let a man so account us. He said, if you really want to judge me, whether I'm useful, whether I'm beneficial, whether I can be of good help, just see if I'm a servant. Now, we do not have time this morning to take all the implications of all the passages where Paul was treated as a servant, but I'll guarantee you in almost every one of those passages, he never complained. He never got mad. He never got angry. Just treat me as a servant, because that was really his attitude. But notice the second thing I want you to note in verse 2. Not only, Paul says, do you recognize a useful, fat person as a servant, that's his attitude, but look at his aptitude. Verse 2. Moreover, it is required in what? Stewards. Paul says, not only am I a servant, and that's what I want to be, and that's what we're looking for, but I want to be a steward. Now, a steward, far as I'm understanding it, has three responsibilities, if I can put it that way, or there's three characterizations of a steward. One is that you are responsible. A steward becomes responsible for something that is not his. He may be called upon by his master. He may be called upon by someone to care for an estate. The Lord Jesus gave several parables of that nature, were given 1 pound, 2 pound, 5 pound, and then came back, and etc. So a steward is an individual who has been given a responsibility. Secondly, a steward is a person who is to be dependable. That is, that if you give them a job to do, you expect them to do it. Once again, I could call back to the parables of the Lord, how that some of his stewards were unjust. But a steward is not only responsible, but he is to be dependable. And thirdly, a steward is to be accountable. That is, there is a day coming, whatever stewardship you've been given, and you have been given a stewardship, each of us have different spiritual gifts, we have different responsibilities, whether you be a missionary, whether you be a pastor, whether you be a pastor's wife, a missionary wife, a single, whatever, you're going to give a day in which we're going to give an account. And Paul simply was saying, you want to recognize what we're looking for is individuals who have an attitude that I am nothing more than a servant, and his aptitude is simply that I'm a responsible human being, I will be dependable, and I will give an account. But then notice he says that it's required of stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. Now that becomes a critical word in this text. What do we mean by faithful? How do you describe a person who is faithful? And often in our Christianity of today, we think of a faithful person who goes to church on Sunday morning, goes to church Sunday night. If there's a prayer meeting, they go to prayer meeting, and they just kind of go through the motions of everything, and we say they are a faithful person. Now, that may be true or it may not be true. For instance, my parents had a grandfather's clock. It never worked, but it was right twice a day. It faithfully told the time twice a day. Now, it wasn't very faithful except for those two times. It was 10 after 2, both in the afternoon and the morning. But how do you scrutinize when Paul says, as a steward, I am to be found faithful? And this becomes our first letter, faithful. And what do we mean by that? Well, I could give you Bill Lake's, all his definitions, and I can tell you what all the different various men that I've read. But you know something? The Lord Jesus Christ himself described what a faithful person was, or a faithful person is. If you'll turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 16. For you college grads, that's in the New Testament, right after Mark. You see, I did go to college. And you immediately recognize the context in chapter 16. It's talking about the unjust steward, an individual who was given a responsibility and how he handled it and giving of his account. We're not going to take the time to go through the parable, but at the end of this, the Lord Jesus begins to deal with faithfulness. And that's what I want to look at this morning with you. What do we mean by that? Well, let's look at verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in what? Much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. So here's a test to find out if an individual is really faithful, is how do you handle your responsibilities? Now the question would be, what responsibilities do you have? As a student here, when I was at Appalachian Bible College, I believe if I'm correct, we were to give 3 hours or donate 3 hours or required to give 3 hours of work every week. My senior year, believe it or not, I don't know why, but they chose me to kind of oversee certain cleaning areas. And I had to, every morning at about 7 o'clock, at about 7:30 to quarter of 8, I would have to go and check certain classrooms, certain buildings, to make sure that the students who were responsible to do that had fulfilled their responsibility. There was one young man, and I honestly forget his name, and if I did remember it, I wouldn't share it with you, because I'm not here to embarrass him. But he always wanted to serve the Lord. That's all he talked about in the dorm. He was gung-ho to serve God. He was going to do it with the depths of his heart. But you know, every time that I had to check in on him, he was not fulfilling his responsibility. And the sad thing is, he is not in the ministry today. Now, I'm not suggesting because he failed to clean the classroom that he's not in the ministry, but I am going to suggest this. I don't care how small or minute the responsibility that you may have here as a student, if you do not fulfill it from the depth of your heart as a servant and as a steward, you're never going to make it in the ministry. One of the things that I have had to do for the last 18 years is to work with candidates coming into candidate orientation and seeing them go out to the field, and I can almost tell you invariably, if I spot or we see as administration down there, see individuals who are not carrying out certain responsibilities, we just put a red flag and say they most likely won't make it, and 98% do not. Now that's how Jesus Christ defined faithfulness. Yes, it is required that stewards be found faithful. Jesus said, here's how you test faithfulness. Have you been faithful in completing and doing the responsibility even in the most small, minute details of something that may seem silly, ridiculous, and useless to you? And that's only a question that you can answer. But that's what God's looking for. One of the things that I always did in training men in the ministry, both here in the States and in the mission field, is I would give men in the church some of the stupidest responsibilities to do because I wanted to see how they handled them. And again, I can tell you, probably 90% of those whom we gave responsibility, sometimes it was just to make sure that the bathroom was cleaned up after the morning service and be ready for the evening service. And some men would not do that. And I tell you, even today, they're not serving God. See, Jesus said, it isn't how big the responsibility is. It's whether your heart, you're fulfilling it as unto me. And if you will do even the small, minute details of responsibility, I'll give you something even greater. We're looking for fat people, faithful people. But Jesus doesn't stop there. Look at verse 11. If therefore you have not been faithful in unrighteous manna, and unrighteous manna doesn't mean that you've gotten it illegally or you've done something wrong. It just simply means it's talking about physical money. And if you'll let me read it that way, if therefore you do not know how to handle money, who is going to commit to your trust true riches? Here's a second way to define or to judge whether someone is faithful. Is not only how you handle your responsibility, but how you handle the money that you have. My father, who's home with the Lord, was not a brilliant man. He didn't have a doctorate or anything, but I can always hear my dad saying to us six children, it is not how much money you make, it is how you use the money that you have that will make a difference. And once again, young people, we have watched individual missionaries go on mission fields and for whatever reason have not been able to handle their finances. They are no longer on the field. Because Jesus said, if you do not know how to handle physical money and be accountable for it and use it wisely and carefully, How can I give you something that is more valuable than money? Now, I know that in today's economy, and I know with school bills, money looks very attractive. But I'm going to tell you, as you grow older, you'll find out that heaven looks a lot more better. Now, that may not be the proper English, but heaven just is glorious. And the more I serve the Lord, and the longer I have to walk with him in this, the things of this earth and the material things are absolutely useless. And it's the true riches that he wants to give to you. But if you do not know how to handle your money wisely and carefully, how, Jesus says, how can I give you true riches? Now, I'm not trying to define faithfulness for you. Jesus already has. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to have some debt. I have a debt. I own a house. I'm making payments on it. I'm not standing up here and saying that if you owe someone a dollar that you don't. You're very poor in managing money. But I am saying this. I want you to go back in a private place and check how do you use the funds that you have. Not worried about whether you win the lottery or, no, you wouldn't win the lottery, that someone you love wins the lottery and they donate it to you. Let's get it right. Or happen you'd be visiting Las Vegas? No. But how do you use the funds that God has already given to you? I'm not saying it's wrong to buy an ice cream cone. I'm not saying it's wrong to go and buy a ham. I'm not saying any of those things. And I'm not saying it's wrong to have, you know, a computer or computer games. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, do you handle physical, filthy lucre rightly, or you're always out of money because you're not using it carefully? And if you want God to commit to you greater spiritual riches, Jesus said, then you'll have to know how to handle physical money. But Jesus doesn't stop there. Look at verse 12. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? In other words, what Jesus was saying is not only how you handle your responsibilities, not only how you handle your riches, but how do you handle your resources? In other words, Jesus says, how do you handle things that don't belong to you? And you kind of sit there and go, shoo, good. I don't have anything right today that belongs to somebody else. You don't? Now, I'm going to go from preaching to meddling, okay? What about the dorm room that you live in? Is that yours? Yes or no? Now, some of you feel like it's yours because of the amount that you're paying for it. I understand. But it's not yours. But how do you treat that room? How do you treat the fixtures in there? Do you just say, huh, this is the college's, who cares? Bang, boom. I mean, I remember as a student, we broke windows. I remember dear Dr. Talmage coming down there and looked at and saw one window missing in the middle of winter. And he says, boys, I don't want to know. Just don't tell me. I'm as guilty as anybody. But Jesus is saying this. I'm looking for people who own or not own, but uses other things of other people, and I want to know how they treat them. I was talking to a missionary one day, and again, I'm not trying to be critical, but he was talking about he rented this certain car, and he says, man, did I rip that thing left and right. And immediately I came to this passage. That car didn't belong to him. Now, if it was a Corvette and he wanted to see how fast it go, that's fine. But to abuse it, Jesus said, if anything that doesn't belong to you and you're using it and you abuse it, how do you think I can give you anything? How do you think that I can give to you a ministry that is not yours? The missionaries that I serve in the Pacific area are not my missionaries. I try to refrain saying my missionary. They're not my missionaries. They're God's missionaries. I serve them. And Jesus Christ is simply saying, how do you expect me to give you something that doesn't belong to you? And if you can't take care of something physically that belongs to somebody else on earth, you really won't expect me to give it to you. And I'm convinced there are men and women in the ministry today that are not being faithfully effective because of these very three areas. They do not know how to handle responsibility. They do not know how to handle the riches, and they do not know how to handle the resources. Now, I did not define faithfulness. Jesus Christ laid it out here for you. And I simply ask you, are you a faithful person? Because that's who we're looking for. That's who Jesus Christ is looking for. He's looking for an individual today who can take responsibilities, no matter how insignificant they may seem to be to you, and he wants to see your attitude of how you handle them. He may give you some riches, money beyond that you've ever thought you might have, and he wants to see how you're going to handle it. He's going to give you some resources that don't belong to you, and he's going to watch you very carefully how you're going to use them. And then afterwards, he's going to step back and look and say, and you want me to do this for you? Now, I'm not suggesting, please don't go out of here saying that Bill Lake said this, that if you handle your responsibilities well, if you handle your riches well, and you handle your resources well, you're going to have the biggest church in town. I didn't say that. But I'll tell you one thing, Jesus Christ will give you responsibilities, he'll give you riches, and he'll give you resources you've never known you've had before. But the size, the amount, that's his business, not our business. So, yeah, we're looking for fat people who are faithful. A steward is to be found faithful. The second thing about a steward, it's very obvious that he has to be available. That is, he has to be, a steward has to be available to those who are over him. Are you available to the Lord this morning? Can you honestly say from the depths of your heart that, Lord, I'm here, I'm available, I'm willing to go, I'm willing to be, and I'm willing to do anything that you want me to, wherever you'd want me to go, to be and do? I believe I was here a couple years ago, and I used this illustration, but it certainly gets across what I convey when I say available. I was in mainland China, was in a house church, must have been about 40 to 50 people in that meeting, very small room. There were four chairs. I had the privilege of sitting on one, I guess because of being European and old. You know, sometimes it's good to go like this. You know, people feel sorry for you. And the pastor, after the singing and everything, the pastor got up to speak. But behind him stood another person. And behind him stood another one. And I didn't say anything to my interrupter. And I just assumed that when the first pastor got done, that probably the second pastor was going to preach, and then there was going to be three sermons. Well, the first pastor, believe it or not, you know, Lord love his heart, he spoke for about an hour and a quarter. And I figured, okay, I looked at my watch, that's one down, and two more to go, we'll be out of here in about 4 hours. And all at once, people started leaving and just moving themselves out, and I couldn't figure out what those two fellows, they just kind of started mingling with the people. So I said to the interrupter with me, I said, what was those two men for? He said, oh, I should have told you. He said, at any time we hear a noise or a knock at the door, we assume it's going to be authorities. The first fellow standing behind the pastor would just go right over, reach and give him a bear hug, pick him up, and he would sit in the other two seats. The second fellow behind him would walk into the pulpit and act as if he is the pastor, and that's who they would arrest. It's required in stewards to be available. Are you available today like that? Just think, he was willing to do that. And I said, how many men do you have like that? He said, we have 12. They do it on a rotation basis. And then he grinned and he says, and the authorities think they arrest our pastors. He said, 3/4 of the pastors arrested in China are not the pastors, but we don't tell them any different. Available. Are you available today? That's all God wants. God wants a person who is faithful, who is available. But another thing I find in stewards, they must be teachable. Go back to the parables that you can think of as we close. That when Jesus gave the talents and when Jesus talked about giving an account, one of the things that comes out of those parables is that Jesus taught those individuals certain things. And if they listened, and they listened well, they did well. Are you teachable? Or you already have your mind made up? There's probably some of you come to this chapel, your mind's already made up. Another missionary, oh boy, oh, You're asleep. And I don't blame. I mean, I understand. I was there too one day. But you see, God's looking for individuals who are teachable. In this sense, and please don't misunderstand me, God doesn't put the tape measure around the brain. He puts it around the heart. And he says, I want faithful people. I want stewards who are faithful, who are fat, faithful, available, and ones that I can teach. Is that true of you today? Only you and the Lord know the answer to that. Are you a teachable person? Are you an available person? And are you a faithful person today? Only the Lord knows. But I'll say this. If you're a fat steward this morning, you will be a steward that God can use for His glory. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to minister your word. May now you use it and take it and enable the students to meditate upon it, to think it through. And Father, may each student, each individual, adult here, might take time today to pause and ask, are they faithful? Are they available? And are they really teachable? In Jesus' name, amen.